This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hashtag no music, no intro. I know we did. If you haven't checked us out, we joined TJ Jones, Ryan, myself last night, State of the Saints podcast, jumped on with him, chopped it up for over an hour talking about the Saints. But I feel like we haven't done like an episode in a while. Like our last episode we did was with Greg. And so this episode, we're going to be talking about a lot of things, talking about minicamp coming to a close today, talk about the brand new black helmet that seems to be kind of polarizing, and just give our thoughts about minicamp thoughts going into training camp, some things that may have caught our attention regarding this team. We fully are aware that from now until training camp starts picking up, there's a month of just tumbleweeds in terms of NFL. Bro. Like, nothing. Not going to be anything. And usually when that happens, our listenership drops and not as much, you know, listens. Although I will say I have been pleasantly surprised by the amount of listens and downloads that we're still getting in this whole period right now. Like, that's impressive. We thank y'all. So keep that up. But we're going to, even though it's going to die down here in terms of football action, we're still going to try to, you know, have content. It may not even be football content. I'll be completely honest. Like, it may just be whoever we can get on to talk about. It could be pop culture. It could be food. Who knows what it could be? It's going to be something. So we're still going to do episodes once a week. We want to thank tremendously our Patreons. We just finalized the menu from Blue Oak Barbecue from the VIP get together in October. Menu's finalized. Now we're working on getting the alcohol situation figured out and finalized. Working on that stuff. Like, we're still doing a lot of things for this podcast and for this show. So even though it might die down in terms of football, in terms of things not happening in the NFL, we're still going to be working. And then once training camp ramps up and gets started, like, it's we hitting the road full speed ahead. And I'll be honest, man, that first preseason game, that Zoom live stream, bro, I'm ready for it, bro.
I'm ready.
Ready. But let's start with the helmet. Before we even dive into football, the Saints unveiled today an alternate black helmet that is, in my opinion, it looks sleek. It looks nice. I think, like, the little mohawk with the little fleur-de-lis has thrown some people off. They don't like that. But I'm not a big uniform jersey person. I'm just not. I used to be. But as I've gotten older, like, I don't really give two shits about it. When I first saw it, I was like, God damn, like, that's a nice helmet. Do you have any complaints about it?
That was my exact thought, bro. I was like, oh, that's nice. I'm not a huge fan of the mohawk. It just kind of gives it kind of like a futuristic look, but I like more of the classic kind of look. But it's not to the point where I don't like it. I think it's still, you know, that shit, it's slap, man. Like, it'll be interesting to see what combo they use it on. I know people didn't like the Cam Jordan picks with the throwback, with the color rush. I thought it looked fine, but I think it'll probably be better with the white jerseys, with the black print or the black jerseys. But we'll see, man. But it's fresh, though. I like the change up, man. I've been wanting a black helmet for the Saints. Like, that's been a long time request.
Yeah. It's been a request for, like, the longest from all of us, like, for years.
For a team where the color is black and gold. It's like, can we get a black helmet?
You get black. And they finally got one. And so it'll be interesting to see, one, how much they're able to use that helmet in games. Like, is it going to be like a once or twice a season type of thing?
I think it's once or twice.
But I like it. I know my dude, Darth Saint, don't like it. I saw some negative reaction on it on Twitter, and I was just,
man,
like,
Max, he can't stand it, man.
Can't stand it, man. I will say though, the markup or the makeup one, like the test one that he posted in our Discord,
that thing was fire.
But you know, beggars can't be choosers, man. Beggars can't be I enjoy it. I'll like to see it. You know, like you said, with the uniforms,
At the end of the day, if the Saints lose with that black helmet, that's gonna tell Saints fans everything. Like if they lose with that helmet, everybody gonna hate that
mother. Or you know, the thing is like, and I'm going on record. Like I am not a big color rush jersey or combo. Like I don't love them. I don't, bro. And I know I know that's the minority, but like with the first two seasons that they wore them, bro, like they played awful in them. Like they were terrible. Like they've done a lot better over the years now as it's going on. But like the first year, one of them was there was like two Thursday night games, and I think they played and they just lost in them. And I've never been very enamored with them. Like I don't dislike them. I just don't love them like most do. And that just goes to show you about like fashion, right? Like,
yeah,
it just people have completely different tastes and what they are into and what they like.
I always and forever hate the white and black combo, like the white,
yes,
white jersey,
yes,
with the black pajama top and bottom,
hate it, bro.
The yoga tights or whatever. I'm like, man, if they put a stripe on the side of the pants, maybe I feel better about it. But just something about it, bro, it just always irked me, man. I don't know.
So I wanted to run something by you. And part of this came to mind thinking about the CD Deuce diatribe he went on yesterday, 2 days ago? Yeah, yesterday, I want to say. After a mini camp practice, and we talked about it last night on the State of the Saints with TJ, but I thought about what CD was saying in that clip, and here I am. I'm watching the Warriors win their fourth NBA championship with Steph at the helm, and I start thinking. And I think about how this year's Warriors team was kind of like constructed. Right, their team was constructed of three prominent players in Steph, Clay, Draymond, championship experience, been the big three, have seen it all, been through it all. And then they had this young nucleus of young talent that kind of like bridged the gap between the two, right? Of old and new. They had Jordan Poole, Andrew Wiggins, who isn't young, but you know, he's a newer player to like, and everything just worked of like, you had the old heads, but old heads that are still at times can be elite players. And then you had the young bucks that were coming up. And I just started thinking like that's kind of what the Saints have. Is it not? Now I'm not saying the comparisons are exactly the same from basketball and NFL. They're not. But if you just think about it, how this team is currently constructed, and I'm talking about the Saints. You have the old heads, right? So the old heads would be Cam Jordan, DeMario Davis, even though he's new, Honey Badger is kind of an old head because you know he's done it before.
Yeah.
You know, Jarvis, you know, it sounds weird to say, but AK is kind of an old head now. Right.
I know, right?
So is Ryan Ramczyk. And yes, none of these players besides Honey Badger, none of these players have won championships like the Warriors have. But like all of them to some degree have deep playoff experience in the playoffs, been in big games. And then you have this like influx of young talent. Chris Olave, Trevor Penny, Alante Taylor. Don't really consider Marcus May, like he's still more of an old head. You have like these young guys, and if you can get that sometimes on a team, and sometimes like the mix and the fit is just great. And I think if you just listen to mini camp interviews, you know, looking at like Alante Taylor's tweet. Perfect example, bro. He said, coming into the DB room, you just surrounded by greatness. Like,
yeah.
I have no choice but to be great and to raise right. my game. I'm not going on this long rant to say that this is going to lead to the Saints, you know, winning a Super Bowl next season, but I think they have a good mix of young and old. And if the formula can get mixed in correctly, a lot of it's going to hinge on three things that we don't know. It's going to hinge on Jameis. It's going to hinge on how DA can be as a second time head coach and Pete Carmichael. Like, those are huge things that we just don't know. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But just in how the team is built, like, this team can, I'm not going to say they're going to can do a Warriors run to the Super Bowl, but like, they can compete and make noise in the NFC. I really think they can.
No question, man. I mean, and just like you said with the Alante tweet, man, it's like, you got to elevate your game, man. Like, you surround, like, when you think of Tyrann Mathieu, I know, like, a lot of, you know, LSU fans love him, but players love him. Like, these young players grew up watching Honey Badger. You know what I'm saying? Like, he had that youthful swag that they looked up to and stuff like that. So, like, man, being able to play with him, man, it's like, they want to come with it. They want to play with Jarvis, you know, Jarvis Landry. So it's a real great opportunity for these young dudes to really step up, because honestly, the Saints need it. Like, they need that refresher, because everybody else, they're right at that prime. You know, AK, he's right at that prime. Marshawn Lattimore, people like Cam Jordan, they're kind of on the back end. You know, DeMario Davis on the back end. So it's kind of like, you got to strike that iron now, man. Like, those players, they could fall off a cliff at any point.
Any point, man.
It's like, and, you know, thankfully, it don't look like, you know, I look at Cam Jordan, he's still moving around, just energetic as hell. I saw some snaps of DeMario Davis. He just looks, man. He looks 28 years old. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it make no sense. It don't make no sense.
Makes no sense. Like, I don't think you're gonna see any drop off from him. So, man, you got to strike while the iron's hot, bro.
Like, you got, like, let's just go through the young players a little bit. You got, so obviously Chris Olave, Trevor Penning, Alante Taylor, Pete Warner, Paulson Adebo, Peyton Turner. He's like right in the middle, like. He ain't young, but he ain't old. He middle age.
What, 26?
25? I'm just talking about, like, when he was drafted in eight. I'm just going more by, like,
yeah,
when NFL, like, how year. NFL years, right? So, like, he's like middle aged at this point. It's just something that got me thinking watching, you know, game six, seeing the Warriors win the title. Is like, that's how they got to this. Like, because if they didn't have the young talent, like the Young Bucks and Jordan Poole and all, like, if it was just the big three trying to lead them to a championship, bro, they wouldn't have won.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have won. So let's stay with Marcus Davenport. We got to stay with Marcus Davenport, the news that came out this week, man. So if I remember the report correctly, so Mike Tripler reported it. Like, he said it, like, in an interview. So he said – three surgeries on his finger since the end of the season?
What the hell?
Three, trying to fix a plate. And then one of the surgeries, he got like an infection that led to him like amputating some of his pinky finger, bruh.
Oh.
Like, what? I'd be remiss to say, you know, Peyton Turner wasn't at minicamp because he's dealing with a shoulder injury. Like, I said it last night, like, those two players are the key for the Saints defense to be elite.
Right.
Like, not like great. I don't even mean great. I mean, they're so good, and I'm not going to put them in the same, like, you know, Legion of Boom era or like that Broncos defense or a Ravens defense. But if they're not there, they're like the tier right below it, right?
Yeah.
And I think that, to me, the health and development, the health of Davenport and Peyton Turner, but the development of Peyton Turner, because if they can give you good to great pass rush consistently, that changes the whole tenor and complexion of the defense. So we don't – so hopefully Davenport and Turner will be healthy for training camp in a month, but we're going to talk about towards the end, we're going to talk about the things we're looking for heading into training camp, but like off the bat, like it had – like my attention's right on that is their health.
Yeah. Yeah, especially – and, you know, with Davenport, it's just like, come on, man. Like, I think last offseason was the only offseason he was healthy in the offseason.
Yes.
So it's like, this is part for the course for him, man. Like, so be ready for training camp. What other injury did he have? I know he had the pinky, but what else? A shoulder?
I think it was maybe a shoulder, yeah.
Oh, okay. So hopefully that's together, man. But it's just annoying. It's like, it's not, obviously it's not his fault. You can't blame the player for injuries. But it's just like, geez, bro. Like, Cam Jordan out there, you just see Cam Jordan out there, man, just having fun. Has missed one game in his entire career due to COVID.
Because of like a pandemic illness, bro.
Right. And he wasn't even sick. Like, he wasn't even sick. He just because of NFL protocol. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, oh, like, man, like, just get on the field, bro. And with Peyton Turner, man, it's just, he's a question mark. We don't know. We don't know what that dude is. He missed a lot of training camp. Missed a lot of training camp. Last year, came back, had kind of a nice little game against Carr. Didn't do much after that. He got hurt. Still hurt. So it's like, what is he? We won't see him until training camp. Like, we don't know.
And also, like, if you just go back to his career at Houston,
same thing.
Was injury prone in college. Like, I don't know. I the two biggest question marks, like player health wise, going into the season is Peyton Turner and Michael Thomas. Like, we saw a photo of Michael Thomas. Like, yeah. And I said in our Discord, like, oh, that's the new Jarius Bird pick that Ryan used to post, bro. Like. You're like, oh, he got his a Saints jersey on. Like, it's been so long, bro.
Man, and we just don't know what that's going to look like. That's crazy, and it's sad too. But we just got to see, bro. Like, those are such huge questions going into the season that are so pivotal. They're pivotal questions that are worth multiple games. Like, if Mike Thomas healthy, Davenport healthy. Peyton Turner turns a corner and, you know, is a good player. Like, that's like worked a couple games. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, as far as wins.
Huge
impacts. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be pivotal, bro. Like, come August, just to see how that plays out.
It'll be pivotal. And that one thing I will say, and I know we were kind of like, this was on our radar for OTAs. And we know OTAs were voluntary, but to see that, and minicamp was mandatory, and to see that the Saints had 100% attendance, even for players who, you know, weren't able to do anything because of injury, like they were still there, which that was good to see, just team wise. So anything in terms of, and keep in mind, when if you're listening to this as a listener, listen, Ryan and I aren't at a mini camp practice. We don't have media Saints credentials. Even if we were to try to get one, I don't think we would ever get the Saints and be like, y'all? No. So, you know, we can't give you on the ground like analysis and observations. Like, that's for the Nick Underhills. That's for John Hendricks, Captain Terrell, Mike Triplett. Like, read those observations. All we can do is basically read the observations that they reported and then, you know, have our thoughts on it. So with that said, what are, you know, some thoughts you've had over some observations you've read over these last couple of days with the mini camp wrapping up today?
It's been promising to hear that just Jarvis Landry seems to just be clicking, bro. Like he's doing everything right. He's running the routes.
He's healthy too.
He's healthy. Like that's a huge thing because he was not healthy.
Nope.
The last year and a half. He seems to have like a nice little camaraderie with Jameis, and Jameis looks for him. So that's just huge. That's huge, regardless if Mike Thomas is healthy or not. You know what I'm saying? Especially if he's not. Like Jarvis is going to play a huge role if that happens. It's good to hear that Chris Olave. Like Chris, I just wanted to make sure Chris Olave made it through this. I didn't want to hear him limping off the field and him like that. So he's been healthy the entire mini camp.
You know, he don't have any asthma issues that's flaring up in the heat, bro.
Yeah, like that's all I need. That's the only news I hear. On side of that, you know, he's been playing well. Everything, he's been catching everything, running great routes, looking
good. And you can see it. The route running, exactly. It is like it's easy to see it like when we watch them, right? But like just seeing him run routes, and someone put it in our Discord, like watching Chris Olave run around, and this is no disrespect to like Jarvis, like his route running is so, woo, like I can't even describe it, bro. Like it is,
because they put out a clip, and it was first it was, you know, Jarvis Landry running the route, and then it was Chris Olave, and it was just
it was night and day, bro.
It's not like one was bad route, one was good. It's just the athleticism and just smoothness of Olave, just it jumps out at you. And that's all you want to see in minicamp. This minicamp is 7-on-7 at best. No pads or none of that. But you want to at least see what you looked at on tape from the college player and see if it translates. You know, you just want to see it. That's it. And you see it with Chris Olave. It's like, okay, it's there.
Something that I was happy to read, right, is what was the biggest knock on Chris Olave coming out?
Toughness.
He's not physical. Well, one of the best plays in minicamp that was reported was, you know, Jameis threw a great ball in tight coverage right between two defenders, and Chris Olave, you know, gets smacked by the defense, held on to it, makes a great catch. Like that's the little stuff where I'm like, it's gonna be fine. It's gonna be fine.
Well, I mean, he's playing with Jarvis Landry, one of the toughest. I don't care what team he's. Everybody would tell you he's one of the toughest players in football. Like, just tough. That's just who he is. You got Michael Thomas, another one of the toughest players in football. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not about to measure dude toughness or not. You know what I'm saying? But if you play with those dudes, you're just gonna have to bring it. You know what I'm saying? They're not gonna let that shit slide. So, you know, I expect to see him become much more well-rounded as far as his game.
I agree. One of like the most simple things, it was a little surreal to see, was it yesterday, 2 days ago, when the Saints social media posted that picture of AK and Jarvis Landry doing like a little shoulder bump, like mid-air shoulder bump, bro. And I had to take a step back a little bit, right? Because me and you, like we follow the team. Obviously, we do this podcast. We're not super emotionally invested into wins and losses anymore. But just seeing that, I took a step back and I was like, man,
that's crazy.
We got AK and Jarvis Landry on the same team, bro.
And can we talk about just AK, bro? Because we didn't see him through OTAs.
Didn't. Yep.
And just to see him come back and just running them choice routes so smooth. It's just like, I don't need no more. Like, you just sit him down, put a little package on him until September. Like, I don't need to see anymore. He good. Like, we know he take care of his body. We know he has a crazy training regimen. You know, when it comes to football, he know what he's doing. Like, it was just a nice reminder, like, he that dude. He's still that dude.
Still a dog.
He's the face of the franchise, pretty much. You know what I'm saying?
He is. As of right now.
Yeah, as of right now, you know. So, hopefully the legal situation plays itself out. We'll see. You know, apparently he has he still has, like, you know, continuances all through the year. So, you know, it might not be something that we see this year.
So, bro, that sounds like one of my cases in children's court, bro. Continuances, contested.
That's all they do.
That's all they do. Because all it is, and I've learned this as a social worker, and I've very much learned the legal system from being a social worker, is that, i.e., if I have a recommendation for a case, and let's hypothetically say it's negative until, like, it's not in the parent's benefit, right? If I'm saying this kid should be adopted or this kid shouldn't go back home yet, whatever it is, right? The legal recourse that a parent does is they don't want that decision to be made in court, so their counsel will continually try to request continuances and push the court dates back and back and back to delay the inevitable. So by the time it happens all the time, like, we're supposed to have a court date in February, but with continuances, maybe it doesn't get heard until, like, June or July. Mm-hmm. So then a parent's attorney could then say, well, Your Honor, this incident happened back in February or whatever date it was. Now this time has passed. Like, there's not any more risk or any more. They just try to spin it. So I've seen it. So it wouldn't shock me at all if this continues to get continued. So maybe the end of the year. That's just how the court system, that's how the legal system works. But some things that have caught my eye in minicamp. Two things. One, think Lucas Kroll got a chance, bro. The Lucas Kroll hive percolating a little bit. And it could just be, this is just due to what the state of the current tight end position for the Saints right now. But it seems like he's flashing OTAs. He's flashed a little bit in minicamp. And he doesn't have a lot of competition.
Yeah, man. I mean, if Kroll can just give us some average tight end snaps, doesn't even have to be above average, just average rookie tight end snaps, that'd be huge, bro. Like, that'd be huge. Just such a hole in this offense. We don't know what we're going to get with Adam Trautman. He's been 2 wins consistent, showed some promise his rookie year, took a step back his next year. So we don't know. He could take a step up. But, you know, if Kroll's showing something this early, man, that means something to me. Like, because, I mean, you saw it, you know, if you watch, you know, him with Kenny Pickett, like, they had a nice little thing going on. If, you know, if Jameis can develop that with Kroll, bro, that'll just do nothing but help this offense, because they need it.
Need it, man. It's needed. And listen, if you look at the tight end position, you have Adam Trautman, Finding Nemo, Nick Vinette, Juwan Johnson. Like, it's not crazy to think that Lucas Kroll can maybe get Nick Vinette out the paint. Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Nick, like, you don't. The potential of someone like Kroll, if he continues to flash and things like that, you'd be like, Nick Vinette, you can get out of here. Like, which just goes to show, like, that's just how big of a area of need it is in the offense. Another player, and, you know, this man might be becoming Pete Warner part two, bro. Monte Taylor, bro.
Man.
Dennis Allen in his presser singled out Big Creek, Carl Granderson.
Yeah.
Singled out that Alante Taylor is further along in his development that even them and the coaching staff would have thought up to this point, bro.
This is a lot, man.
This is minicamp. Now, we weren't a fan of the pick. We wanted that pick to be another offensive weapon, and you know, we were being greedy, rightfully so, I must say. Uh-huh. I don't think we were doing anything wrong. I think the bigger question is that I am now more confident that Alante Taylor is going to play meaningful snaps on the defense this season.
Me too.
My only thing that comes with that is that who does that encroach on? Because it's not going to encroach on Marshon Lattimore.
No.
So it shouldn't encroach on CeeDee, because CeeDee has a specialized position of being a slot cornerback. So that just leaves Don't Vax Me, Paulson and Debo, and Bradley Roby. Like, those are the only two players that Alante Taylor could cut in on their snaps. And it's weird, right? Because you would think that how good Paulson and Debo played last season, especially towards the end of the season, right? Like, he kind of really came into his own after having, you know, he had some games where he struggled. But all in all, like, he had, for being a third-round pick, he had a damn good rookie season.
He really did.
Playing the hardest position you could play in sports, right?
Yeah.
So my question is, for Alante Taylor to potentially cut into his snaps, like, that to me is really telling.
It is. It is, man. And I think he will. I think he's going to push a Paulson Adebo. I think Paulson Adebo played really well as a rookie. I think he's going to be like a starting perimeter cornerback in this league. But you know how cornerback is, man. It's almost a matchup game.
Yeah.
Just like wide receivers. I think, you know, Paulson Adebo will have problems matching up against certain wide receivers that Alante will elevate against. You know what I'm saying? So I think you'd be in a situation where you got, you know, you could be able to pick your poison about who you want on the perimeter besides Marshon Lattimore. And, you know, I would love to take a look, but the games Lattimore has missed, I can always guarantee you those were losses. Like, I remember last year, he was out during the Carolina game last year, I believe. And it changes the whole defense when Marshon Lattimore is out. So if they could just build that depth to where it's not such a huge drop off if Lattimore gets hurt, man, that's what makes great defenses. It's not just having great players, but it's having great depth. So if you could have a secondary where you got, you know, 3-4 good cornerbacks, which is what you need in today's NFL, man, like, you, that's when you're really cooking with gas. Because that's when, I mean, we see it every week, you know, every Sunday in the NFL, you know, this corner goes out, then they bring in Giacomo, whoever, and he just gets abused. You know what I'm saying? Like, they just start abusing whoever player comes in,
right?
The third string cornerback or whatever. But when you got legitimate guys that can come in, man, it just makes all the difference.
All the difference, right? And we've said this offline through text message, but the days of questioning secondary players drafted by the Saints,
it's crazy. Just
with Jeff Ireland at the helm, bro, we might got to put it to a rest, bro.
Ain't that crazy?
You know, the Kareem Moore and I always forget the other guy's name. In that 2018 draft,
where they saw what was his name?
I'd have to look it up. But those are like the only two blemishes. Like, that's wild.
Some late round picks. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. And
without looking it up. Woo. Yes.
And you know, I was just thinking, like, man, I posted in the Discord, like, man, I remember praying. We paid Delvin Bro CB1 money. You know what I'm saying? Just for him, when he came in that one season and just showed, you know, above average cornerback play, it was just like, yes, bam. Like, it was just like,
we were thirsty, bro.
Thirsty, bro. Thirsty, dog. Like, so to be here where you got all these cornerbacks, all these safeties. I mean, look, Bryce Thompson, he's been making a lot of noise in camp. He playing safety, playing nickel. He played first team nickel today, you know, in place of CeeDee, you know, and, you know, Nick Underhill wrote about him. Dennis Allen's talked about him real positively. So man, like PJ and Tyrant, like they got some guys in the secondary. Like it's gonna be some hard choices, man. Like is King Crawley with the team? I don't even know.
Is the cuts in the secondary? Woo! And I don't know if this is gonna happen, right? Because they brought back Bradley Roby, but like I don't know if they ever like talked about how much money Bradley Roby's getting. I don't.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Like it was just like he's back. Okay. Like no numbers, but it would not shock me at all that if Elante Taylor continues to develop, especially like if he just has a great, outstanding training camp, man, they probably trying to see like, man, maybe we could cut Bradley Roby. Maybe we could try to trade him for.
Which is crazy because this time last year, well, training camp last year, cornerback was a must.
Yep.
They traded for Roby because they needed cornerbacks, man. Like it was a dearth. You know, they lost Jack Rabbit and they just never replaced him. You know, you had Paulson Adebo, but it was like, who, you know, it's a third round rookie. Like, what do you know you're gonna get from him? You know, and just
it was gonna be Richard Sherman, bro. It was gonna be Richard Sherman. I don't know. It's just the secondary is obviously the strength of the team. You brought up Bryce. I'm glad you brought him up because he's made a lot of plays. Like it, just the cuts. It's hard, man. It's hard. Let's switch over to offense. I want to start with wide receiver. More specifically, can we talk about Deontay Hardy? Can we talk about his roster spot and if he's going to make the team? So he signs his tender and he wants a contract extension, right?
Yeah.
Which he has every right in the world to want his contract extended. But I would just say to him, right, like, I think you just got to read the room a little bit, right? Like, if they had not drafted Chris Olave and they hadn't drafted a wide receiver in this last draft, like, then you have some leverage, right? Because you, like, you ain't got nothing else. But this team is drafted Chris Olave. They signed Jarvis Landry. Michael Thomas is a huge question mark. They got Marquez Callaway, who played decently and got better as the season went on last year. And it just doesn't sound like they're close in terms of numbers. So I love the idea of Deontay Hardy being on this team, putting him on one side, on the right side, putting Chris Olave on the left side of the formation. And then you just got speed, bro. Like, you got the defense just scared shitless. I love that idea in theory, but will it, like, is this contract situation going to, you know, perk up his head? Because if we'll be honest, like, I could just see the Saints being like, man, like, as good as you are in the limited what you can do, like, you are not healthy enough for us to invest money into what you do. I can see it, man. I don't know how it's going to play out, but it wouldn't shock me at all if it played out.
It wouldn't shock me at all. Especially, you know, special teams. You know, does he still want to play special teams? Is that something he still wants to do? Is that something the Saints still want him to do? Because I mean, he's the best returner the Saints have had since Sproles, easily, by far. All pro as a returner, which is hard to do as a rookie. Like, man, that's just crazy. And but I mean, he just gets injured, man. Like, it's just a part of the game. He's a small guy. You know, he's what, 5'6", 5'7". and he just gets banged around. He's tough. It's not like he's a soft player. He's tough. He gets in there, but man, his body can only handle so much. So, I mean, that you just got to take that into account when trying to extend the player. You know, I'm sure he wants, looking at what the wide receivers making, you know, Christian Kirk and all of them, I'm sure he wants 9, 10, 11 million. It's just not going to happen with the Saints. It's not. They're not going to pay him that. So I fully expect him to be on another team. Is he going to be on another team this year? I don't know. I think, you know, we're going to see how things play out in training camp, see who's healthy, you know, as far as like Mike Thomas. They still got Tre'Quan Smith. They got some young guys coming up.
Bro, why did I forget Tre'Quan Smith is even on this team?
I forgot to, bro. I was just looking at a video today, and I saw them, like, doing high fives. I was like, man, look at Tre'Quan, man. Look. I forgot they brought him back, bro. You know, so, like, they got options. Like, they are not married to Devontae Hardy. They are not. But I would miss them in special teams unless they find another gym of returner. You know what I'm saying? Like, and, you know, look, man, see what you want about him. When he was healthy last year, he was one of the Saints' best receivers. Like, him and James had
a connection.
Those comeback routes was killing teams because he would go up to the field, turn around, come back, and they couldn't defend that. And when he went downfield, you know, he was catching them balls in stride, bro. You know, that speed is real. Like, his speed is real, and you can't coach that. Like, that's worth something. That's worth something. He's worth getting paid. Don't get me wrong. But it's just, you know, the way the moves the Saints made this offseason kind of makes it, you know, a tough decision to, you know, pay that type of money.
It doesn't. I think you said it perfectly in terms of we don't know is the quote unquote marriage or relationship going to end now or is it going to end next season? Because in theory, like, the Saints don't have to, like, yes, he may want a new contract, but like, you can want all you fucking want. Like, you signed this tender, bro. Player in this tender and figure this shit out, and, you know, another time.
And it happens a lot with these UDFAs that play well. It's unfortunate for them, but it just is what it is because, you know, they play 2 years and they get tendered, 2-3 years, then they get tendered. You know, they play under a shitty tender and then they're like 27 years old.
Right.
You know, trying to cash out. You know what I'm saying? So it kind of sucks for them.
Man, that sucks fucking big time.
Yeah, man. You just watch. You look at players like Victor Cruz, I remember back in the day. You know, he kind of got screwed. You know, he was an extremely productive wide receiver for the New York Giants. And, you know, he kind of got stuck due to all this shit. So it's just kind of the way the game plays, so I feel, you know. But he's going to get paid. As long as he got that speed, man, that dude going to have a career, bro.
Oh, easily. It might not, like you said, it might not be with the Saints, but he's not going to be unemployed for long if it's that one. Like, and if I would say this, if for whatever reason they just feel like he's not in the plans this year, or if it becomes like not able to be reconciled, which I couldn't see it getting to that point this early. But in theory, let's say it would, he has some trade value. Like, you're not going to get like
at that salary, like he's under like what he's getting paid. What's his tender, like $3 million or something? $2 million?
Peanuts, man.
Peanuts. Oh, come on now. Like
you could get, like, hypothetically, if I'm the Bears, who need a lot of offensive help, need to give Justin Fields fucking something. And they've had one of the worst off seasons in terms of helping their quarterback. Like, you call up New Orleans and say, hey, I gotta throw you a fourth round pick for Deontay Hardy. You could get a fourth for Deontay. I really think you could.
Oh yeah. I mean, you think of the Lions, you know, they coach knows him, you know. Think of, you know, San Francisco. I mean, so many teams, man. Like, you wouldn't have any problems moving in.
No, at all. Anything else just that you can recall from, like, the observations or anything that you've read from minicamp that's caught your eye?
Oh, it was just good, you know, kind of back to Jameis. this is good to see him out there just spinning it. We know he's not 100% yet. He's still working back and, you know, kind of walking with a little limp. But he out there competing, bro. He's out there. He's, from what everything I read, he's in there early. He's the last one off the field every practice. You know, he's not competing with anybody this year. So, he's taking ownership of the offense. I think all that's important, bro. Like, we'll see. You know, I was listening to Nick Underhill. He was saying, like, you know, Jameis looks like much better than he did at this point last year practicing for the Saints. You know what I'm saying? Like, just as far as just control of everything, accuracy, all that stuff. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out. But, you know, that's what you want to hear at this point. You don't want to hear anything negative. You want to hear that he's, you know, he's doing positive things. So, I mean, to me, that's just huge. We'll see if he can stay healthy the whole year. You know, but then you got Red Rifle sitting behind him, man. Like, you know, like the Saints don't have a great quarterback, but they got a good quarterback room. You know what I'm saying? That makes sense.
No, you're right. And I wanna see, speaking of injuries, we talked about Peyton Turner, we talked about Marcus Davenport, we talked about Michael Thomas. Like, it's funny that we haven't really, like, Jameis's injury, even though it was like bad, like I think sometimes we get kind of lost and just assuming like week one he's gonna be out there like 6 months. This man's coming back from a torn ACL, bro. Like,
it's like it's nothing, and the media don't talk about it. It's just like, they got Jameis Winston, he'll be out there. Like, man, it's torn his ACL and on Halloween, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. October, bro. So, you know, so what, the season starts, what, in September? So, like, he'll have, like, about 11 months, you know, in terms of surgery, you know, rehab, all that, you know, the road to recovery. But I think it's important for us to take a step back sometimes, just as fans, and just be like, oh, shit, like, Jameis had fucking surgery on his fucking knee. And it's not just, like, just a sure thing. Like, I'm sure he'll be fine by training camp, and I'm sure he'll start week one. But like you said, like right as of right now, this man's walking with the limp. Like, he's supposed to be playing football in three months. Like,
exactly. And it takes time. It takes time not just to heal, but for them to trust their knee. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's any athlete that you'll listen to in terms of like that injury. They always, especially for football players, they say that that's the biggest hurdle for them.
Right.
It's trust in the knee again.
Trust issue, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, with him last year, he was using his legs a lot, trying to get first downs and stuff like that. It's going to be interesting to see how he approaches it, if he's just going to try to just stay in the pocket and just be a more efficient, you know, quick at the ball. Because from everything I read, they focused heavily this offseason on short, intermediate, quick game, getting the ball out, third down, red zone, stuff like that. So, you know, and he's talked immensely about being better in the short and intermediate. So it'd be interesting if he tries to be like more of a quick game quarterback, like, you know, this system kind of fits, or if he just kind of falls into what he's normally doing.
Yeah, that's true. I had something for minicamp. I know what it was. It's a small thing, and it's nothing that may seem big, but it kind of goes just back to the point I started at the beginning of the podcast in terms of like the youth and the vets. But this, the energy coming from the team right now, feels very positive.
It does.
It feels very
positive. It's really positive, man. Like,
it is, man.
Vibes, good vibes, and all that.
And like, every time I see Alante Taylor, that he's hype. Like, he'll do something like he's jumping up in the air, and his athleticism like leaps off the screen.
It does, man. I really undercounted how athletic he was. And that will take you far as a DB.
Yes. Like,
that alone would take you far.
mixed with good coaching that can give you good technique, and you pair that with good to great athleticism.
Phew. Oh yeah, that'll take you a long way, man.
It absolutely will. And that's like I said, it's just a small thing, but the videos, like, it just seems to be a good feeling vibe. Which, and keep in mind, I'm not trying to turn this into a whole other conversation, but just talk briefly on it. Is, imagine, like, if you are still a Browns fan and you decide to stick around even after they traded for Deshaun Watson, bro. And just like the
stank over there, bro.
Every time you get a notification on your phone, if you're still like one of those fans that are like still connected to the team, if you're a Browns fan and you see something from Adam Schefter, you're just like, is this another 25, 25th? Oh, you just put your phone back down.
66.
Lost count.
Does he get suspended? Suspended for 6 weeks? Is it the entire season? Is
the season? Like eight games? The old
Baker Mayfield thing just hanging over? This is nasty.
Also, Baker dumb as shit, bro. Like, bro, I would have been
I would have been at Browns camp showing out, like, man, this dude Baker is a stand-up dude ready to play.
You know his little dance he did at the photo shoot that got me?
I've been doing that.
All on the sideline, bro. In my brown. I'm like, get me out of here. But if y'all don't drag your feet, I'm going to make this as awkward as possible.
I mean, shit. They won't pay him. They can pay him, you know?
Shit. Boy,
18 million.
18 mil? Shit. Yeah. Dan's on the sideline real quick. Hey, Baker, our starting quarterback, he has a situation that he's dealing with. He can't play for 8 games. Can you play for us? Just keep on dancing on the side. Not going to be able to do it. That to me, like, if that was me as a player and he wants to get out of Cleveland as badly as he does, I would force their hand. The quickest way you would force their hand, show up the fucking mandatory minicamp, bro.
Go exactly, because right now you're not being a problem.
Yeah, bro. I couldn't wait to talk to Diana Rossini, bro. Like, oh, Baker, what are you doing here? Just being a team player, just here, you know, just get some work. Just like go about it completely normal. Like, nothing.
Bro, I'll be sitting in the front row at the Deshaun Watson presser while you answer questions about.
Bro, get you, man. Got some popcorn, just like
front row. Yeah. That's what y'all want.
Okay. Missed opportunity for Baker. Missed opportunity for him. What are some things? So, kind of wrapping up our mini camp talk. Anything? Training camp around the corner. Anything that you're just zoned in for training camp.
Pup list. Mm. That's it. I want to see what that pup list, who on it. Is it Mike Thomas? Is it Jameis? Is it Marcus Davenport? Is it Peyton Turner? Those are the four players I want to see what their injury, you know, that'll tell me everything. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Who's on the pup and who's not, will tell you. You know, I expect Mike Thomas to be on the pup list. I'd be shocked if he isn't. And I think they're going to try to bring him along slowly. But the other players, like if Peyton Turner and Davenport on the pup list, bro, I'm done, bro. Like, I'm done, man. Like, I just can't deal with it no more. Like, I'm just done.
You know who's going to be healthy for training camp, though?
Harold Landry.
We'll get to him. I was going to say Harold Landry and Joe Tryon, brother.
I'm telling you. Joe Tryon, ready.
Ready, bro. He made a play in one of the Bucs games, and, like, he chased down Taysom from, like, an angle.
Oh, man, I remember.
And pushed him out of bounds, and I was like.
Yo, but I did see Zach Bond. I saw a picture of him. I saw a picture of Zach Bond this week.
What?
Yeah.
Not even a video, bro. Like, you saw Bigfoot. Like,
the picture. I'm like, Zach Bond. He was on the football field.
There he is.
Zach Bond things. But I did, you know, jokes aside, I did hear he was blitzed a lot. I don't know, bro. Like, it's just, no Saints reporter asked himself about Zach Bond. I wanted somebody to just ask, like, what are the plans with this guy?
What is he? Like, is he gonna make the team? Like,
it's just a waste, man. You would think he would get more opportunities now, you know, with your two DEs out, you know.
Just let the man rush. You brought him up. So for me, going into training camp, for sure. I think you hit it, like that pup list, the injuries. That's what I'm hyper-focused on. But the other thing I'm focused on, I said it last night, closing the State of the Saints podcast with TJ, is the team has answered the question in terms of being able to show us the vision when they saw a hole at wide receiver. They saw that they needed to get better in that room. And they did that in spades, bro. They went out and got Chris Olave. They got Jarvis Landry. Like, they've improved that position. So my question is that you did it for one position group. For this one position, right guard, 51, name, number, circle. Is that going to be the same energy, or is it – because it's already like when Nick Underhill kind of already putting out like the piece, like the story, like you kind of already know what's going to happen. Like, oh, the coaches, third year, you're going to turn the corner. Like, what? Part of me as a fan, and it doesn't happen just in football. It happens in all sports. Sometimes players just show you who they are.
Yeah.
Right? No amount of coaching, different, I don't know, Doug Marone's back. Can there be competition at the right guard position?
Please.
Like, and if hypothetically, if Caesar Ruiz wins it, but hypothetically, if he like won it legit, then cool, right? Like, boom, he won it. But I need to see Landon Young at right guard getting snaps. I need to see Throckmorton getting snaps.
Bring in Clemente, man. Like,
stop. Senio Clemente was in a mini camp, tryout for 3 days. I said it last night. You can't tell me with a straight face that Cesar Ruiz could play better snaps right now than Senio Clemente. Couldn't tell me. I wouldn't believe you.
That's not because Clemente is great. It's just
no.
He's slightly average.
Below average to at sometimes average NFL guard.
That's good. I'll take that over Reed.
All we need right now at right guard, Ryan. Like, this nigga is on my nerves.
Like, at least be a speed bump for a defensive tackle. But, you know, Reed's just open the gate. Like,
this nigga is Moses, just parting the sea. Like,
come on through, baby.
Let my people go. And I texted this to you a few days ago. I said, well, if they're set on starting Caesar, man, at that point, just I need all the memes. I need the videos.
Oh.
Everything. Because I am going to be a fucking fool and laughing. Clowning, bro. Clowning. Because, like, the Saints play the Rams this season, right? I gotta see it, bro. It's like a snuff film. I need 9-9 on 51 every snap of the fucking.
You know, Aaron Donald gets to pick who he lines up against.
Yep,
he gonna watch does. That tape and be like, 51 is me every snap. Every snap. I want him.
Can't wait for it. Because here's the thing.
Like Bloodsmore with Chung Lee. Point, like, I want you.
You know 51 ain't going to miss any games because of injury or illness.
Oh, no. Pristine health, man. Pristine health.
Not in that man DNA.
That man ain't limp off the field once.
You know the injury sometimes, like you look a player limp off the field, like, oh, he get hurt, and he on the sideline for a little bit, and then you come back in, you're like, oh, okay, he's okay.
Never. Whole offensive line got ravaged. Backups got ravaged, not Ruiz. You can't say that about him. I mean, you can't say that.
I have a feeling that they're not going to create any competition at right guard. They don't trust that Doug Marrone can fix it. But I do hope, let's say it's 2 weeks in training camp, and Doug Marrone just realizes, like, man, I can't. I would hope that if he went to DA in his office and just had, like, a conversation coach to coach, and he said, we got to figure out something at right guard. Like, this
– Yeah, I don't think – you know, DA has no tie to Ruiz. Doug Marrone has no ties. I mean, only ties people have is, like, the front office. And, you know, at this point, they have no say over what happens. And, I mean, if you look at Dennis Allen, like, when Dennis Allen became defensive coordinator, the first thing he did was basically bench Stephon Anthony. Like, he just said, nope. Like, nope, I cannot play this player, period. And they had him playing, like, strong side backer, which basically was a bitch. So, you know, DA will sit a player out. Like, does he have the vision on offense to do those type of things? I don't know. But if Doug Marrone voices his concerns, I think he'd respect that. I don't think DA has any ties to be like, oh, we put a first round pick on this guy. Nah. But yeah. I think he has his amen choir somewhere in the team that just wants him. You know, wants him to work out, you know. Whether it's Jeff Ireland or whoever.
Whoever it is. That's something I'm looking forward to in training camp. We talked about the injuries. I want to see if Lucas Kroll can continue that good momentum. And then, like, I feel like we haven't, like, and I don't know if it means anything, but, like, can we hear anything from the tight end position besides, like, Lucas Kroll, bro? Like, it's been crickets. Like you're not seeing, like, oh, Adam Troutman made this catch.
Juwan Johnson, nothing,
bro. Like, I wanted to end with this. You know, shout out to our dude Cordell on Twitter. He wanted us to talk about the CD Deuce video. We talked about it last night on the State of the Saints pod last night. But CD got, you know, very passionate speech, you know, after a mini camp practice. And the first thing I thought about is just his passion. Like, and we talked about last night of how you couldn't have a player who, even though he's not, like, from New Orleans, like, embodies the whole culture of New Orleans more than, you know, than Chauncey does. Talking about how defense was, you know, disrespected. They have the best defense in the league. Their record against Tom Brady. He brought up, you know, he's like, not going to name no names. We talking about the Jared Cook fumble. Part of me was like, better be careful talking about Jared Cook, bro. Like, I might need to bring this nigga back. Like,
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Dark and tight end position right now, bro. But I watched it and I was like this. And I hope he's able to stay a Saint for a very long time. I have some doubts about that, you know, if it works out financially. But, like, one of my biggest thoughts is, like, this is why he's one of my favorite players, one of my favorite draft picks in such a long time, because he is who he is. He's a dog. He means what he says. And you can't not watch that and not be like, fuck yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, as a fan, you're like, but what were your thoughts when you watched the video? I don't know if you watched all of it, but if you watched some of it, what were your thoughts?
No, I did, man. I did. I just like you said, like, he fits right in with the city. You know, my city, we talk our shit. We don't care. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't care if we're going to talk our shit. We don't care if we losing, winning. We're going to talk our shit. And, you know, CD Deuce embodied that. You know, he tweeted a couple of days ago, like, just talking about the city. Like, he said, this is my crib. Like, I fit right in. He feels like he fits right in New Orleans, and he does, man. And I appreciate any players that's like that. I remember, you know, I remember the days of Saints players just couldn't wait to get out of New Orleans. I remember they just weren't fans of the city. You know, they all lived out of town in Covington and, you know, on the outskirts of New Orleans. You know, they didn't embody that culture, you know. And, you know, but then you had players like Joe Horn came and Deuce McAllister. Deuce McAllister came in and was, you know, immediately ingrained himself, you know, to the city of New Orleans. And that was huge, man, for Saints fans back then. And now, you know, you got players like Tyrann Mathieu from New Orleans. You got CeeDee Deuce, grace yourself. Cam Jordan, like, just a part of the city, like, a part of the fabric of the city. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they are faces of New Orleans, you know what I'm saying? So, and, you know, obviously Drew Brees, who was just the face of New Orleans for the longest. So, it's just great to see. I just enjoy that aspect of it because, you know, football aside, man, like, that shit's important, bro. Like, you know, just kids that were my age back, you know, just like me watching the Dawn Patrol and, you know, Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Brooks and all that stuff. You got kids, you know, 11 years old watching the Saints games now, you know. And they you know, they like a CeeDee Deuce, you know. CeeDee Deuce look like me. You know what I'm saying? So, they, you know, that just goes a long way. So I just like that aspect of it. And on top of that, he's a good fucking player. Like, just good. Yes. He's a dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that just makes it even better, you know?
It does, man. It does. And, like, I hit on it a little bit earlier, just the vibes coming out from the team, from, like, the locker room. I don't know, you know, this is early. I don't know what the end result's going to be in – some of it's luck with regards to injuries. Sometimes the ball bounces weird ways. Like, that's just sports in general. And I mean, in reality, like, that's also life. But just from a very limited sample size we've seen, mini camp, these 3 days, we didn't even talk about, you know, the Joe Sharp, you know, Schobert linebacker tryout. He tried out for 3 days. We haven't talked about, you know, David Johnson. He tried out. But the vibe and feeling coming up from this team is completely positive. Whether that means anything, whether it's going to turn in anything, it's yet to be seen. I did want to talk about David Johnson real quick. Don't know if he's going to get signed after the mini camp tryout or anything like that. But I truly do believe that the RB2 position on the team is still very much in flux.
Yeah, it's the flux.
They want someone to be able to have that, do that position and do it well. Maybe it's David Johnson. I don't know. Yeah. I know
it might be in flux until early September.
Easily. I mean, the running back two on the team, you know, running back two might not even be on the team right now.
Right.
Might not, you know, that might be someone who gets, you know, maybe like a surprise cut in training camp and you know, get signed and picked up or something like that. So that's just another thing going into training camp to, you know, look out for if you're a listener, is just the running back two position. But if David Johnson does get signed as you know, to the team, let's just, you know, there's, you know, reports he was getting snaps at Tony Jones Jr., bro. Like,
thank you. Out of here, bro. Another thing I forgot to mention, man. Big Nuts Lutz.
Oh, man.
Big Nuts Lutz, he's back.
Huge.
You know, he's at 100%. You know, he finally made some kicks today in team sessions. It wasn't perfect. He missed a couple, as you would expect, you know, coming back off an injury. But just the fact that he's back, hopefully get back in his groove, man, because the kicker position was – like, it cost the Saints games last year. If Lutz was Lutz last year and played, they would have been in the playoffs. Like, that's how bad the kicking position was. So, so if he could come back and be what he, you know, what he was his first couple of years with the Saints and just be consistent, you know, 90%+, man – Saints good.
They are, man. They are. Man, I think we've hit on it all. Just a shout out to our Patreon. First, a shout out to anyone who listens to this podcast, right? We appreciate you downloading, taking the time to listen to us ramble for an hour. You know, you could do anything within your entire day, but you take the chance, you know, take the time to listen to us. We appreciate that. Big thank you to our Patreon, Patreon supporters. Please know and believe that the support that you give us via Patreon is going into so many things in terms of things that we have planned coming up for the meetup, giving away game tickets, things like that. The coffee mugs, I'm still working on getting all those coffee mugs out. I've gotten some out. There's 32 more coffee mugs to get out to everyone who's at the $10 level or higher. So, and that all comes again. So that all comes from, we're able to do things like that from people who provide to us on via Patreon. So if you have the capability and means to, please take advantage of that. You can become a Patreon.
Even if it's something we know it's hard out here, man. Gas is high, food high, light bill high, rent high, mortgage is high. So we understand that anything you contribute, you know, we understand. Like, trust me, we appreciate anything that you come to us.
We do, 100%. And, you know, like we keep talking about our Discord. We're very proud of our Discord. But keep in mind, like, when you become a Patreon, even if it's at a dollar level, once the preseason, regular season comes around, you're gonna be able to get access to the Zoom live stream where it's the whole concert of us watching the game together, just lit, joking, cracking jokes, laughing. Like, I want it. Like, I couldn't imagine. Like, I want to watch the first where we's like complete like whiff, bruh, and we all see it at the same time, and just all our reactions. Like, that's the shit that's gonna be amazing. Like, that's just gonna be absolutely amazing. So, can't wait for that. But again, if you can't become a Patreon, listening to us is great. If you could like us and give us 5-star on Spotify, iTunes, however you listen, we greatly appreciate it. We know it's about to die here within this next month overall, but please stay with us and stick with us over this month and continue to support us. We really do appreciate it. With that, you know, football, like, unless some shit blows up, football is done for the month. It takes a little break, but it's going to be back in full swing in a month when training camps ramp it up. We'll be with you the whole entire time doing podcast episodes, even if it's not football related. And then when training camp ramps up, we will be providing you that content episodes, hopefully multiple times throughout the week. With that, we're wrapping up for tonight. Thank everyone for listening and supporting. We appreciate it. With that, we're out.
Peace.